In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Even though Sunday school is over, I guess now that we have some young people, I'm going to ask some questions. In fact, I'm offering 1,000 dirhams, which I just got in my pocket recently, if anyone can tell me what holiday it is today in America. Nora? Nora is correct, but I think she actually read my sermon at home. But in any case, that's fine. It is Flag Day in America, if you didn't know that. Someone also, by the way, just told me that it is Donald Trump's 80th birthday, our president's 80th birthday today. And most importantly, in just a couple weeks, it will be July 4th and a very special Independence Day, right? Because it is the 250th anniversary of the independence of America. And that's the day that we celebrate our freedom as a country. Now, it's a blessed coincidence that every year when July 4th comes around, our ancient lectionary also speaks of freedom because it takes from Paul's brilliant letter to the Romans, which we read from today. And today, therefore, we're going to talk about freedom and how what we think of freedom today most likely differs from what it meant to the founding fathers of America and certainly what it meant to the founders of our faith. And so today, let's try to recover this older understanding of freedom, which is a blessing for us all and a fine thing to do on this 250th Flag Day in our blessed country. So you hear a lot about the talk of freedom in America, and truly, truly, relatively speaking, at least, we are a free country. You can criticize your government. You can worship as you please. You can criticize your deadhide. You can say what you need to say and decide how you will earn money and live your life. But there's also a misconception of freedom that has sprung up in America and in the West, in our technologically advanced and individualistic and ambitious societies. There's this sense that freedom means basically no limits. Answering to no one, doing whatever we want. In fact, this is sort of baked into the American dream. I want to make it big, get enough money, power or fame to be independent, to be my own boss, to answer to no one. This is the new freedom, and all traditional things like the church and morals and obligations and commitments, well, these are old and in the way. I just want to be free to be me. So this misunderstanding of freedom would probably have our founding fathers choking on their 250th birthday cake. Because back in 1776, they wouldn't think it was possible or even desirable to be free from all limits and obligations and commitments, and they wouldn't want to. Freedom was always bound by responsibility to good and to evil, to right and wrong. There is no freedom beyond these, but only between them, of which you choose to serve the good, the true, and the beautiful, or the opposite. Benjamin Franklin knew this. He said about America's prospects for freedom, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, he said, they have more need of masters. It's an interesting idea. In other words, if the people serve the common good, they become more free. If not, they become slaves to their habits and to their bad leaders. Our second president, John Adams, you may know his beer-producing cousin, Sam Adams. He wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." That is, our American system requires that people serve a God and a moral order in a country that is greater and bigger than them. That's why they gave over their lives to building up all the things we take for granted today, a representative government, church-going culture, free press, respected military, etc. Well, St. Paul, who was less of a diplomat than these men, he said things as they were. He puts it starkly in today's reading, and he says that human beings are never totally free, but slaves of the one whom we obey. Either slave to sin, which leads to death, or slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So again, the question is not whether you will be free or serve someone else. The question is, who or what are you serving in your life right now? Are you serving only your narrow interest to get ahead, or are you also serving the good and institutions bigger than you that gave you and I so much? Will we live by whatever shifty moral code gets us ahead, or by the Christian moral code, which holds all to a higher standard and it never changes for anyone? Paul urges Christians not to be slaves of worldly things which pass away, but of God's things which never die: mercy, truth, justice, love, the things which defined Christ's life, of course, and we pledge to follow and grow into every day since our baptism. Make no mistake, beyond the sloganeering, this and only this is what has made America great and free. And if America is to be great again, we first must make America good again, starting with you and me and our lifelong dedication to a common good greater than us and our God, who is its author. And so to conclude, I invite you to take a moment now to reflect on the many people and causes and things which you have served, and how paradoxically these things we've served have given us the greatest freedom. I know people who have served in the military, and they have told me that their service set them free to be the people of discipline and character and respect that they are now. For me, humbly, I served in the Peace Corps, and this freed me to become an adopted son of Armenia and a better citizen of America in so many different ways. I hope also that service to this church does something similar for us all, and I think that it does. There's sacrifice and commitment it takes to serve that's real on the parish council, in the choir, on the altar, women's guild, events committee. But as much as the sacrifice is real, so much more, I think, are the gains. We free ourselves from isolation and rootlessness because we know who we are as a people, and we know who our brothers and sisters are in St. Hagop. We also free ourselves from fear of falling short in this world because we know we're destined for another world and awaited by our Heavenly Father. And so, truly, we grow in freedom as we grow in service of all that is good and become great by our nearness to our great and merciful God, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Speaking of service,